Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan back with another Hypnosis Etc. with Celeste Hackett, the fun place to come and learn more about hypnosis. We've got free hypnosis training, tips, tricks, and insider techniques for you to enjoy. If you're watching this any other place than www.calbanyan.com, then you'll want to go there because right down there underneath the video, we've got links and additional supportive text that lets you in on what we're talking about and extends the program. Okay, well, if you were watching last episode, you found out that Celeste Hackett is just buried under a pile of clients, and she's trying to hypnotherapy or hypnosis her way out, and she's unable to get with us for a week or two and do these programs, so I managed to pull in a temporary co-host, and I'm thrilled to have Kelsey Banyan, my daughter, with us for a couple of shows. Say hello, Kelsey. Gosh, yeah. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell them a little bit about who you are and your background in hypnosis.
All right. I've been around hypnosis since my dad got into it and about 10 years ago. Been to 5 or 6 conventions since then, and I've just recently been certified. So I'm going to be seeing clients and working in the Banyan Hypnosis Center in California. I'm excited.
That's right. And if genetics has anything to do with it, you're going to be a pretty good hypnotherapist. How's that make you feel?
Pretty good.
All right, let me see. I'm looking at my list of things to do today. And one of the things we're going to do is I'm going to have you fire off a couple of questions at me, just like Celeste does. Why don't you give me a couple of questions to pick from?
Okay. One of them, they're actually both from Ask Cal on the Our Hypnospace. And one of them is, what if a client isn't angry at anyone during age regression? This person has had a couple of clients who were alone during most of the AR session and aren't really mad at anyone. It is a little difficult to do forgiveness of others if they don't have anyone to be angry at.
Did they say what the issue was that they're working on?
Nope.
Okay.
Nothing else. Sorry.
Well, this is a good question. Let's go with this one. Kelsey, we didn't do this last time. Why don't you give them, in case they want to send you a message, send you some questions or some feedback about how you're doing, what is your Our Hypnospace address?
It's really easy. It's Kelsey, K-E-L-S-E-Y, .ourhypnospace.com.
Good, good. And I'm Cal Banyan at calbanyan.ourhypnospace.com. Good. Now let's see. So what do you do? Now, this person who wrote the message is a 5-pather. That means that she normally will do phase 1, phase 2, phase 3, phase 4 with her clients, and phase 5 is just for those clients that have secondary gain. So most of the clients that 5-pathers see don't need to go into phase 5. Phase 1 is preparation, testing, and convincing. Phase 2 is age regression to neutralize the cause of the problem. And 3 is forgiveness of others. And she says, gosh, you know, here I want to do phase 3, but in the age regression, she wasn't really all that mad at anyone. So, you know, is it right to get her to, you know, bang on a pillow and say, you're such a son of a gun and all that kind of stuff, and froth at the mouth and beat the pillow and stuff like that? And I say, well, the wise hypnotist will tell you that what we want to do is be very wise and selective when we decide who our client is going to forgive. Here's the trick. If our client is doing a too much behavior, eating too much, drinking too much, smoking too much, and so on, one of those kinds of things, has a bad habit, where they're using some kind of behavior as a distractor for a feeling inside them they don't like. Could be as simple as feeling bored and eating, feeling sad and going to work, being angry and going for a walk. These are just distractors. They don't do anything about the cause of the problem. And by the way, if you want to hear more about distractors and the secret language of feelings, go to www.thesecretlanguageoffeelings.com. I have some really good, at least I think so, audio programs there that can teach you about that. All right. If they're doing a too much behavior, they're doing it because they have a feeling inside them they don't like, anger or sadness or loneliness or something like that, and it's mounding up throughout their life, from their past. Well, so then what we want to do is we want to take the one person in their life that's hurt them more than anyone else. That person, they're good and mad at, you see. That person may not have been revealed in the age regression, but they're there. And the anger is there, and they don't want to feel that anger, and that's why they're having trouble stopping smoking or overeating or whatever it is that they do too much of, that they've come to see you about so they can get control over it. And they will not get control over it until they get rid of that emotion. So what we do is we put the one person in that chair that's hurt them more than anyone else. And when I'm talking about the chair, I'm talking about we put an environment together where there is two people in two chairs. Some people call it the round room. Some people call it chair therapy. This was originally designed by Fritz Perls and then made popular in the world of hypnotism by Jerry Kine. So we take them and put them in the round room or where the two chairs are, and we have the client forgive the offender. And it needs to be someone they're angry with. Now, what if they're not doing a too much behavior? What if you're doing work for like a fear, an irrational fear of flying or of spiders or something like that? Well, in this case, we don't want to put the one person hurt them more than anyone else. We want to put the one person who had the most to do with causing the client to have the problem. And gosh, they might not be outrageously angry, but what we want them to do is to express whatever degree of anger they do have towards that person. And a good experienced hypnotist, especially if they've been trained in the five-path system, is very good at conjuring up the feelings that exist. And what we can always do is recall how upset the individual was during the age regression. And what we could do if they're not in touch with that feelings, we could always do a regression right in the middle of the forgiveness work, let them get in touch with those angry feelings or anger that they've experienced since that event and have them bring it back to the forgiveness environment where they then express those feelings, and then we take them through the 10 keys to forgiveness, which are all the tools that we have available to get the forgiveness work done. Do you think I'm answering that question, Kelsey?
I think so. I like that you talked about the two different types of things that people really come in for, the too much or the fear, phobia.
Right. In my earlier training days, I didn't really have that understood, and probably it's only been about the last 3 years that I've really been articulating that well in classes. Good. All right. I didn't set my timer, so I don't know how far we are into the program. Do you have a quick, short little question for me?
One of them is, how much rapport is too much rapport? Like, how much time is too much time spent talking and trying to build a relationship? Like, what if you're being too friendly? Is there such a thing?
Yeah, well, this question comes up quite often, and you know, it really has to do with professional boundaries, and that is, you got to remember that as a hypnotherapist or a hypnotist, you need to get your social needs met outside the office. When this person is laying down, you know, $100 an hour, $200 an hour, $300 an hour, you know, they didn't come to listen to you talk about your family or where you like to work out and stuff like that. You need to stay on topic. It really needs to be all about the client. And as long as you are really step by step getting the information you need to proceed with the session, when we're really working on getting what they want to change, what their goals are, what they're willing to do to make those changes so that we can suggest that they do that, that you're doing exactly what you should be doing. And I don't think there's such thing as too much rapport. Rapport really has to do with trust and the willingness to join in on the process. And I don't think they can trust you too much or be too willing to join in on the process. But I think some people try too hard to gain rapport. If you are seriously interested, I mean, it's obvious to the client in helping them and you're being non-judgmental, then you're going to be able to build all the rapport you need. Good. Is that what you're getting at, Kelsey?
That's pretty much it. I mean, I'm a talker, so I need to make sure how much talking is too much talking.
Okay, you just watched a videotape of me working with a client and doing this kind of pre-hypnosis interview. What stuck out the most to you from that?
Probably what stuck out the most was she was telling these long, long stories about her history, everything that she thinks it had to do with why she was there seeing you. And you're just kind of helping her along, be like, mm-hmm, okay, and then paraphrasing her key points. And I think that was the most helpful thing for me, was to know that you don't have to be like, oh, okay, how did that make you feel? It was more of, okay, so what you're saying is, and just kind of paraphrasing it. I think that was the most, what I got most out of it, really.
That's right. I wasn't playing counselor. I wasn't playing psychologist. I'm just letting them get the story out because I know they need to get the story out. They're going to tell me when they think the problem started. But in probably 99.9% of the clients we work with, that's not when it started. That's when they became aware of the problem. And it's what we call the symptom producing event. And we're going to go much further back. Yeah, and so we're not in the counselor's role. We might want to teach them something like about the secret language of feelings or something like that. Good. You got any more dumb hypnotist tricks, or do I got to come up with something this time?
I think it's your turn this time.
All right, let me look down at my list here. I'll tell you what, I've got this long list, and there's one that just is calling out to me. And I don't know. I'm afraid I might upset some people here. But I got to speak from my heart. I got to talk about what I believe. I got to speak my passion. And that is, you know what? I think one of the most pervasive dumb hypnotist tricks there are in our profession. And gosh, as I'm about to say this, I want to like duck out of the camera. I can almost see the tomato flying towards my head. I can almost feel the heat in my inbox as the hate mail comes. But here it goes. Probably the number one dumb hypnotist trick is doing progressive relaxation inductions. Oh my goodness, I said it. I feel better, kind of. I know that right now, all over the world, people are looking at this and they're going, well, Cal, now you've gone too far. But let me tell you why. You see, progressive relaxation inductions have a number of problems. One is, sometimes they'll put people to sleep before they put them into hypnosis. Secondly, they just take too long. You know, if you're properly trained, you can take someone into a deep level of hypnosis somewhere between 4 seconds and a couple of minutes. And so you don't need to spend 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, 40 minutes on a progressive relaxation induction. Another thing that's wrong with progressive relaxation inductions is, oh gosh, I can just feel the arrows flying in as I talk about this. Okay, when you get done with the induction, what level of hypnosis do you have? You see, there you've spent 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, just relaxing them from their toes to their nose. And I'll tell you what, you don't know if you have them in hypnosis or if they're asleep. So that it's kind of an old-fashioned induction. They're inefficient. They're not all that effective as far as getting deep levels of hypnosis. People will tend to fall asleep before they go into hypnosis. When you get done, you don't know what level of hypnosis you have, if any. In fact, all you probably can routinely test for is some level of relaxation. And hopefully now you folks out there know that hypnosis is not relaxation. Hypnosis is a heightened state of suggestibility. So, gosh, you don't have to be relaxed at all to be in hypnosis. During demonstrations, I'll have people walking around and talking while they're in level or stage 5 or 6 hypnosis. They don't have to be relaxed at all. All right. Now, there's a time and a place for everything. I might use a progressive relaxation, at least a short form of it, if I did not care if my client went to sleep. Maybe I'm working with someone in the hospital and I'm just trying to relax them, or I'm trying to assist them in going to sleep. If the main thing I was after with the hypnosis was to get someone to relax, I might use it. But I've even had hypnotists say, but Cal, my clients expect me to do these long progressive relaxation inductions. I beg to differ with you. Most people don't have any expectation at all except that you're going to go blah, 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 blah. They don't have this idea about induction and deepening and stuff like that. If you really want to get profound relaxation, this is what you ought to do. You ought to hypnotize them first with like an instant induction, like my 8-word induction. And by the way, there's descriptions and articles on how to do the 8-word induction and my modern version of the Elman-Banyan induction, which is a rapid induction, on two websites. One is hypnosiscenter.com, and the other one is in the banyanhypnosismall.com. I have articles there that explain how to use them. Also, the Elman-Banyan induction is in the appendix of my book co-authored with Jerry Kine, Hypnosis and Hypnotherapy, Basic to Advanced Techniques. So, dumb hypnotist trick, doing progressive relaxation inductions every session. Now, there's dumb and there's dumber. Oh gosh, now the stones are coming in. I know I'm going to get feedback on this. Dumb, doing long, slow, progressive relaxation inductions in a first session with a client. Dumber, doing that induction in a second session. Oh my goodness. And there's dumb, dumber, and still dumbest. Doing that again in a third session. My goodness, this is what you ought to do. I mean, if you got, let's say you have to wean yourself off of the progressive relaxation induction. This is what you do. Suffer through that long induction the first session. Then the next session, you use the rapid induction like the Elman-Banyan, or better yet, once you have your client hypnotized in the first session. Now here's a really good insider tip, trick, and technique. What you want to do is you want to give them a post-hypnotic suggestion for rapid or instant induction. You see, you could tell them something as simple as, next time we do hypnosis together, you want to do hypnosis with me and I want to do hypnosis with you, all I have to do is drop your hand and say the word sleep, and you'll instantly go back to this level of hypnosis. If that's okay, nod your head. All right, so there you go. Stop doing those progressive relaxation inductions unless you don't care if they go into hypnosis, and if you don't care if they go to sleep, or if all you care about is that they get relaxed. Oh, by the way, whenever you use the word sleep in an induction or anywhere in a hypnosis session, make sure in the pre-hypnosis interview or in the pre-talk you mention that if you use the word sleep during the hypnosis, you don't mean normal, natural sleep. You mean close your eyes, go deeply relaxed as if you were asleep. Ah, I feel great, Kelsey. How is that for you?
Pretty good.
Good. Well, what I'd like you to do is kind of wrap it up. You saw how Celeste does it, right?
Seen it a couple times.
Okay, do your best.
Well, that's it for this episode. I hope that you got a lot out of it. If you have any additional questions, make sure to go to the Ask Cal group on ourhypnospace.com and make sure to look me up at kelsey.ourhypnospace.com.
Oh, you're looking at a proud dad right here. She's great. All right, this is Cal Banyan with Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. Signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.